That was the end of our interaction. But then she turned to look at me. I don't know what it is about her, but whenever she pays me attention, it always makes me feel special. I crave it. "Dawn," Natalie said, "don't answer my phone again. Ever. Got it?" That wasn't what I expected her to say. This was yet another moment in my life when I desperately wished I had a shell that I could vanish into. Turtles have it so good. Even though I love them, there are times I feel jealous of them. But of course I told her I wouldn't touch her phone again. Ever. Natalie brushed past me out of the break room, leaving behind the faint, flowery scent of her perfume. Despite everything, I still love her perfume. I wonder if I could find a bottle of it. Do you think if I start wearing the same scent, she might like me better? Sincerely, Dawn Schiff. To Dawn Schiff. From Mia Hodge. Subject, greetings. OMG, do not buy perfume to impress that woman. She is not worth your time. Stay away from her. I repeat, stay far away from Natalie. Also, I'm sad that you felt you couldn't tell me about your feelings about your love life. Dawn, you are a wonderful person. I am 100% sure that someday there's going to be a man who will understand how completely amazing and intelligent and beautiful you are. And every day he's going to thank his lucky stars just for being with you. I promise you, you will find someone who feels that way. I hope you believe me. XXO, Mia. Chapter 21. Natalie. I feel good this morning. Seth and I had a really nice night together. After round two, we ordered in Chinese food, then watched TV together on the couch. Back when he was still with Melinda, there was always a sense of urgency. He could never stay too late, because she would get suspicious. I liked more laid-back Seth, who was happy to cuddle up with me on the couch indefinitely. I did send him packing before midnight. Even though we had already slept together, I felt like it would be a betrayal to Caleb for him to spend the night. Well, more of a betrayal. I recognize what I did last night doesn't exactly make me girlfriend of the year. But it's been a stressful couple of days, and Caleb was acting distant yesterday when I needed him the most. He lost a lot of boyfriend points for the way he acted yesterday. Anyway, I got a great night of sleep after the activities of the evening. I woke up bright and early this morning, downed a cup of coffee, and now I'm doing my morning run. My blonde hair is pulled back into a ponytail. My Spotify playlist is blasting pop hits in my earbuds, and I've got on a t-shirt and leggings. When I left my house, it was a brisk 40-degree November morning, and I was freezing when my feet first hit the pavement, but now it feels perfect. I'm glad to see that taking a break for a few days hasn't affected my stamina. The 5K is in only 2 days, and it would be embarrassing if I wasn't one of the front runners, considering I'm the one who organized it. The endorphins are flowing through my bloodstream. I could climb a tree or even a mountain. I feel the best I've felt in days. That is, until I see Detective Santoro leaning against a gray Volvo parked in front of my house. Before I went to bed last night, I checked a local news site on my phone to see if there were any updates about Dawn. The most recent article mentioned that the police were still looking for her. It didn't seem like the police had made much progress. Dawn was still hopelessly missing as of last night. And if the detective is here to see me, it doesn't seem likely that Dawn has turned up alive and well. I stopped short, not sure what to do. For a moment, I considered doing an about-face and putting in another mile or two, but that won't do me much good. The detective doesn't look like he's planning on going anywhere until he talks to me. And it's not like I can go to work in my t-shirt and leggings, covered in a layer of sweat. And anyway, I think he sees me. Sure enough, the detective straightens up and waves at me. I grimace, wishing I didn't have to talk to him in my sweaty running clothes. Well, I wish I didn't have to talk to him at all, but my attire doesn't make the situation better. "Ms. Farrell," he waves again. "You got a minute?" I don't find his Boston accent even slightly endearing anymore. I walk the last half a block to my house. Detective Santoro looks me up and down with his shrewd dark eyes. "Get in a nice run?" "Yes." He squints up at the sky. "Nice weather for it. And it's supposed to be a nice day when you've got that race on Saturday. Of course he knows all about my agenda for the week. It's not exactly a race, it's more like a fun run for charity. He nods like he couldn't possibly care less. Would you mind if we went inside? Did you find Dawn yet? He doesn't answer me, but instead jerks his head in the direction of my front door. I just have a few more questions, if you don't mind. I should agree. I have nothing to hide. Yet I find my jaw clenching. I didn't do anything wrong, and it's like this detective has it out for me. It's not fair. I'm afraid I've told you everything I know.
So it should be real quick, then.
Santoro's black eyes are leveled at me, and it's unnerving. I squirm in my sneakers, wishing I could hit the shower before having a conversation with him. I've got pit stains, after all. But it seems like I don't have much of a choice in the matter. Fine, I say, but I have to get to work soon.
This won't take long, he says. If you want, I'll write you a note.
I bristle at the idea of this man writing me a note like I'm some teenager, and he's my dad excusing me from school. I don't justify his offer with a response. Instead, I start up my walkway to my front door. I unlock the door, and he comes in behind me. Santoro lingers in my foyer.
Mind if we sit down?
Actually, I do mind. I fold my arms across my chest. Like I said, I don't have a lot of time, so what do you need to know? He gives me a look like he's surprised by my nerve, but I don't back down. I'm not going to let this detective push me around.
So I just want to get more of a sense of your relationship with Dawn, he says.
My right eyelid twitches. I told you, we were co-workers. We were friendly, but not really friends. Is that all?
What do you mean by friendly?
I stare at him. I mean, we said hello to each other every day. I gave her a ride home once when she needed it. Occasionally we ate lunch together, but that's about it.
Okay, I get it, he nods. And was there ever a situation where you fought with Dawn?
No, I say firmly. Never.
Did you ever make fun of her?
Make fun of her? I repeat. What am I, in grade school?
Well, he says thoughtfully, from what I hear, Dawn was kind of odd. When people are different, it might be natural to poke fun at them.
Well, I never did.
Never?
No.
So you never told anyone that you thought Dawn lost her virginity to a turtle?
My jaw drops. Who told you that? He lifts one of his dark eyebrows.
A few people, actually.
Shit, I mutter under my breath. Okay, look. I mean, yes, I might have said that. As a joke, I didn't say to Dawn. I was making a joke. You know, because she liked turtles so much. I didn't do it to hurt her feelings. I dig my fingernails into the palm of my hand. It doesn't make me a terrible person because I made one joke.
Of course not.
But there's something in his voice that makes me think he believes otherwise.
So are there other jokes you made about Dawn?
No. I mean, I don't remember any.
Did you invite her to office parties?
I blink at him. Yes, of course I did.
Because several people said you deliberately kept her from going to workday parties.
I did no such thing, I burst out. I always sent out an email to the entire office. I wouldn't exclude Dawn on purpose.
Did she come to the parties?
No, but that's not my fault, is it? I plant my hands on my hips. Was I supposed to give her an engraved invitation? I glare at him. What are you accusing me of exactly? He cocks his head to the side.
Several of your co-workers felt you were bullying Dawn Schiff.
This time, my jaw feels like it's about to become unhinged.
Bullying Dawn? Are you serious? Who said that? I'm not at liberty to say, but it wasn't just one person.
They're lying. I can feel a fleck of saliva fly out of my mouth as I spit out the words. I never bullied Dawn. We're not in school. What does that even mean? He frowns.
It means that there was a pattern of cruelty to her perpetuated by you.
A pattern of cruelty? I can't believe my ears. Because I made a joke about her?
Because you excluded her from company events. You kept her out of meetings. You damaged her personal property.
What? My head is spinning. I never did anything like that. I was nice to her. Nicer than she deserved.
Nicer than she deserved? What does that mean?
I immediately regret my choice of words. I just mean, Dawn was strange. People didn't like her. But I tried to be nice to her, okay? Maybe I made a couple of jokes about her behind her back. But so did everyone else. I never bullied her.
Santoro gives me a look that makes me think he doesn't believe one word I'm saying. I wonder who told him these terrible things about me.
Probably somebody who's jealous of my sales record.
Just because Dawn was different, he says. You didn't have to be cruel to her.
I wasn't. Tears spring to my eyes, and I struggle to keep them from rising to the surface. Ask my boss, Seth Hoffman. He'll tell you I was nice to her.
Santoro's eyebrows shoot up to his hairline.
Seth Hoffman? You mean your married boss who you were sleeping with?
Okay. Now I feel like I'm about to keel over from a heart attack. How does he know about that? I get that he's a detective, but it seems out of the scope of the investigation into the disappearance of a completely unrelated person.
Did Seth tell you that?
No, he only said nice things about you.
So, who told you I was sleeping with him?
He hesitates a split second.
Dawn wrote about it to a friend in emails we found in her computer.
Oh, God. Yes, Dawn knew about me and Seth. It wasn't like I confided in her. She happened to witness Seth's wife leaving me a threatening note. But she was nice about it. She promised not to tell anyone. God knows who this friend is she told about my exploits. I didn't even realize she had any friends to blab to. And it makes me wonder what else she wrote about me. But what's the difference? So what if Dawn wrote a few things about me in a couple of stupid emails? She certainly had a unique view of the world, and it doesn't mean anything she said was true. None of this is real evidence of anything.
This is harassment, detective. I grit my teeth. I've got to get to work, and we don't even know anything bad really happened to Dawn. She probably just took off on a trip without telling anyone.
A deep crease forms between his eyebrows.
No, she didn't.
Well, how do you know?
Because, he says, we found Dawn's body early this morning.
Chapter 22. My legs almost give out under me. I reach for the banister of my stairwell, but it's not enough. I sink under the first step. My head is spinning, and for a moment I have to put it between my legs. We found Dawn's body early this morning. No, it couldn't be. I gulp. She's dead?
Yes.
I didn't realize it until this moment that I had believed Dawn was still alive. Even though I saw that blood on the floor in her apartment, I still truly thought she had to be okay. But she's not okay. She'll never be okay again. Now she will spend the rest of eternity buried in the ground. There will be a funeral where we will talk about how much we missed Dawn, about what a great person she was, about how she was taken from us far, far too early.
What happened to her? I manage.
He hesitates for a moment as if he's not sure he wants to tell me.
She was beaten to death with a blunt object. She died of head trauma.
I let out an anguished cry. That sounds like an absolutely horrible way to die. Beaten to death. Poor Dawn. Even though she was strange, there was an innocence about her that made her seem almost like a child sometimes. Who would do something like that to her? I lift my eyes again to look up at the detective. He thinks I'm the one who did this to her. He thinks I somehow beat her to death with a blunt object, as if I could do such a thing. I mean, physically, I suppose I could. Dawn was such a small person. She could not have weighed more than 100 pounds dripping wet. And I am admittedly in pretty good physical condition. He just caught me going for a run. So I suppose it isn't out of the question that I theoretically could have done it to her. But why? Why would he think I didn't?
This is terrible.
My voice trembles as a tear rolls down my cheek. I can't believe it.
It's a terrible thing, he agrees. So you see why we want the person responsible for doing this to her to be brought to justice.
I swipe at my eyes with the back of my hand. Yes. Yes, of course.
So would you mind if I took a look around your house?
I stare at him. Around my house? Why would you...
Like I said, we just want the person responsible for doing this to her to be brought to justice.
My mouth feels almost too dry to get out any words. I have to clear my throat. I have an alibi for that night. I told you already.
Right, he says. Right, the boyfriend. I forgot.
Right, I say tightly.
Unless.
Unless what? I have an alibi. He shrugs.
Well, unless both of you killed her together.
I don't even have the words to respond to that one, but something is tugging at the back of my head. I should get a lawyer. I need to get a lawyer before this gets out of control. I need a lawyer before something happens that I can't undo. But doesn't that look guilty? Why should I shell out a bunch of money for a lawyer? I didn't do anything, for God's sake. I have to go to work now, Detective. I'm struggling to keep my composure. So, if you don't have any other questions, I really need to go. He shoves his hands into his jacket pockets.
Okay, we'll talk more later then.
No. No way. I hope you find whoever did this to Dawn, I say.
Believe me, Miss Farrell, he says. We will.
Chapter 23. 4 months earlier. To Mia Hodge, from Dawn Schiff. Subject, re-greetings. Dear Mia, first of all, I want to say thank you for those lovely flowers you sent. You're the only person in the world who remembers that tulips are the one flower that doesn't irritate my sinuses. It brightened up my day when they showed up, especially after the terrible week I've been having. So you know how much I pride myself on being prompt. In school, I never got even one tardy slip. You used to get them all the time. Sorry, I don't mean to make you feel bad about your tardiness, but it's just a fact. When somebody tells me to be somewhere at a specific time, you can bet I'm going to show up there on time. No excuses. In fact, I'm usually a few minutes early. There's nothing worse than being late. So you can imagine how embarrassed I was when I walked into a meeting in the conference room this afternoon and saw that the meeting had already commenced. I checked my watch, but I wasn't late. The meeting was supposed to start at 2, and it was just a few minutes before 2. Yet everyone was seated at the conference table. Most of the croissants had been eaten, and Seth was mid-sentence.
"Gee, thanks for joining us, Dawn," Seth said.
As I replied, "You're welcome," a few people snicker.
I didn't understand what was so funny, though. The polite thing to do when someone thanks you is to say you're welcome. You learned that in kindergarten. Except I wasn't sure why Seth thanked me in the first place, because about 60 seconds later he ended the meeting and everybody left. I looked down at my watch again, feeling even more confused, especially when Seth asked me in an irritated voice why I was an hour late to the meeting. I tried to explain that I was not late, that the meeting started at 2 o'clock, and it was now 2 o'clock. Except then Seth tried to insist that the meeting started at 1, which I know is not true. But it was hard to argue when everyone was in the room before me and the meeting clearly had come to a close. Then Seth brought up the fact that I didn't show up to a meeting yesterday, even though the meeting has been canceled. Except Seth told me it wasn't canceled, and everyone was there but me. I didn't know what to say. I just stood there, my knees wobbly. This wasn't like me. I always show up on time to meetings, and I would never not show up when I'm supposed to. There was definitely an email saying the meeting yesterday was canceled. I got it first thing in the morning from my inbox. From Natalie. Natalie, as the senior salesperson, is often the one to send out emails about the sales meetings. She was the one who sent out the email yesterday saying the meeting was canceled. And she was the one who emailed me to say the meeting was at 2 p.m. today. I explained all this to Seth. He did not look like he believed me. He folded his arms across his chest and just kept shaking his head. In his eyes, Natalie can do no wrong. Why on earth would she do that? He finally asked. I wish I had an answer to that. Even now I'm racking my brain. What did I do to make Natalie hate me so much? I know sometimes I do things to people that get them upset, and I don't realize I even did it. Obviously, I did something like that to Natalie. I wish I could take it back, whatever it was. I just want to be her friend. Then Seth told me that whatever is going on between me and Natalie, I have to find a way to work it out. Those were his words to me. Work it out, Dawn. Except how? Natalie doesn't like me. I don't know how to change that. I don't even understand why she doesn't like me. It's not like I told anyone her secret. Well, I did tell you, but you're not going to tell anybody about it. Maybe she's angry with me because I knocked into her turtle figurine and it broke. Maybe I should buy her a new one. Except somehow, I don't think that's it. She seemed mad at me before that happened. I get so frustrated sometimes. Why is it so hard for me to make friends? It's so easy for other people. When I watch Natalie and Kim engaging in a conversation together, they have this great rapport and I get so jealous. I keep trying, but it never works. You know this isn't the first time someone has hated me for no reason. It's happened more times than I can count. I want to fix it. I've got to find a way to fix it. I'm smart. I can figure this out somehow if I think hard enough. If you have any ideas, though, I'd love to hear them. Sincerely, Dawn Schiff.
Chapter 24. Present Day. Natalie. As soon as Detective Centaur leaves, I scour the internet for information about Dawn. It's breaking news. Only a couple of stories have popped up, and those have minimal information. She was discovered in a patch of woods in the Cohasset, another town about 20-minute drive down the South Shore, partially buried in the dirt. There's little other information available, although I bet more will surface as the day goes on. I consider calling out sick from work, but I finally decide it's better to go in. After all, people at work might have more information than I do, and the truth is, I want some answers. How could that detective think I was bullying Dawn? How could anyone think that? I'm not that kind of person. I was nice to her. I even tried to be her friend for what it was worth. But obviously, I must have done something to make people think I was bullying her. Multiple people told him that. And Dawn herself wrote about it in a bunch of emails to a friend, which has made me a suspect in her murder. I can't believe she thought that about me. And I'd really like to know who else said that about me. And who was this friend? I'm shocked to discover Dawn had a friend she felt close enough with to be telling them her intimate secrets. Apparently, though, I wasn't the worst of her problems. Someone else hated her. Someone else hated her enough to beat her to death with a blunt object. What if it was the alleged friend? The one she was emailing about me? God knows, Dawn had a tendency to get on people's nerves. Maybe her friend couldn't take it anymore and decided to... God, I can't stop thinking about what someone did to her. When I get to the office, I head straight to my cubicle. I need to stop thinking about this and lose myself in work. What happened to Dawn is horrible, but it isn't my fault. And thanks to my wonderful boyfriend, who from now on I will be completely exclusive with, I have an alibi. So Detective Santoro can think whatever he wants. I'm untouchable. Except when I get to my cubicle, I stop short. 2 days ago, I came to work and there was a turtle figurine on my desk. Yesterday, I threw it in the garbage. I remember doing it. I don't want to look at that thing ever again. Yet now, it's somehow back on my desk. I am as terrified as anyone could possibly be of a turtle figurine that's 3 inches long. I threw that damn thing in the garbage. And somehow, against all reason, it's back. I can't stop staring at it, with its black glassy eyes and shiny green shell. What the hell? Okay, I need to calm down. Maybe the janitors did it. Maybe they saw the turtle in my garbage when they were emptying it and assumed it had fallen in there by mistake, and they thought they were saving it for me. It's possible.
Anyway, I'm getting rid of this thing once and for all. There aren't going to be any janitor mishaps this time. I snatch the turtle from my desk. I clutch it in my right hand as the little arms and legs dig into my palm. And I march over to the break room, where I toss it directly in the communal trash. And by toss, I mean I hurl it in there with all my might so that it makes a loud thump as it hits the bottom of the trash barrel. By lunchtime, that turtle will be buried in garbage. I'll never see it again. I'm nearly back to my cubicle when the phone on my desk starts ringing. Usually I screen calls, but I'm off my game right now, so I snatch up the phone without thinking. A deep voice booms in my ear.
Is this Natalie Farrell?
Yes. I hate being on the phone without knowing who I'm speaking to when I start the call. The caller ID shows a blocked number. My heart sinks. Not again. Who is this?
It's Dave Fulton, from the Vitamin Hut.
Oh, right. I let out a sigh of relief. I made a sale to Fulton about a month ago. He was a little reluctant to sample our products in his small store. But after we had a nice long lunch together, I managed to change his mind, and he purchased 5 boxes worth. How can I help you, Mr. Fulton?
Look, Natalie.
His voice has a rough edge. Like the detective, his Boston accent is heavy.
Nobody's buying Calla Health. Nobody wants it. And the few sales I made, they returned it. They said it doesn't work. Except for one woman, who said it gave her some crazy side effects like her feet started tingling.
Yes, but it takes 2 to 3 months to see a response, I explain. Did you tell them that?
You said 2 to 3 weeks.
No, 2 to 3 months. That's how long it takes to build up the collagen levels.
Whatever, he grumbles. The point is, I can't move this crap, and I can't deal with people coming in complaining about side effects.
There are no side effects. Studies have shown that Calla Health is perfectly safe.
That's not the point. I want a refund. I got 3 boxes I haven't even opened yet.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Fulton. Vicks does not allow refunds. There's a long silence on the other line.
What the hell are you talking about, Natalie? You told me I could get a refund if the product didn't sell.
You must have misunderstood, I say in my most apologetic voice. Vicks products have a limited shelf life, and we couldn't possibly allow refunds.
Are you serious? This shit is expensive. You're saying I'm stuck with 2 boxes of your crap I can't sell?
Fulton's voice is getting louder. I imagine the veins bulging out of his thick neck, his eyes popping in their sockets. I'm so sorry, I say. God, it's too early for this. It's just that this is the company policy. I don't make the rules. They do. If it were up to me, I would give you a refund.
But you told me I could get a refund. That's the whole reason I bought them.
I don't know what to say. I'm very sorry. Fulton is breathing hard on the other line. Now I imagine smoke coming out of his hairy ears.
I want to talk to your manager.
Of course, I say. Just hold on one moment. I press the hold button and put down the phone. I look down at my nails. There's an uneven edge on my left index finger. I dig around in my purse until I locate my nail file. I file down the uneven edge. I blow off the dust from my fingernail. Fixing my nails always makes me feel better. I push my newly filed nail against the hold button and pick up the phone. Mr. Fulton?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, I sigh. I just checked with my manager, and he's on another call. But he told me to let you know that we can't make any exceptions to our policy. I'm afraid we can't offer you a refund. Again, there's silence on the other line.
You lied to me.
Excuse me?
You lied to me, he spits out. You told me I could get a refund on your crappy product, and that's the only reason I bought it. And also because you stuck your tits in my face.
Mr. Fulton...
You're a lying bitch,
he hisses,
and I hope your piece of shit company goes out of business.
With those words, there's a loud click on the other line. Dave Fulton has hung up on me. I stare at the deadline in my hand, slightly shaken by the whole encounter. But seriously, this is a business, and you don't get to be the company's top salesperson by handing out refunds. Ordinarily, I would have shrugged off a call like this. Most people like our products. But there are always going to be some people who don't. And it's not like I care about some dinky little store tucked away in Cambridge. He'll go out of business before we do. But today, his words leave me shaken. You're a lying bitch. That is not true.
I told him our refund policy. It's not my fault that he was too distracted by my breast to listen carefully. I'm not a lying bitch. I'm doing what I have to do to sell our product. I'm doing my job. It's not my fault.
Chapter 25. After I take a few deep breaths, I head back to the break room to grab some coffee. Kim has arrived as well, cupping a mug of coffee in her hand, while she scrolls through the screen on her phone with her other hand. She usually spends the first hour of the workday in the break room, and she also goes in there 3 or 4 more times during the day. I'd estimate in a given week, Kim only does maybe 1 or 2 hours of real work. I've tried to give Kim some tips to improve her sales, but she's not that interested. Honestly, sometimes I think she's trying to get fired. It will give her an excuse to stay home and let her rich husband pamper her. "Hey, Nat," her eyes flick up at me. I notice the skin on her forehead is starting to peel a bit from the sunburn she got on her honeymoon. "Did you hear they found Dawn? Or at least what's left of her?" I grimace at her remark. It's not quite a joke, but it feels very inappropriate. "I heard." Kim blinks up at me. Who could have done that to her? I mean, we all sort of wanted to strangle her sometimes, but who would actually do something like that? It's so awful. "Yeah." I slide into the seat next to hers. "Listen, Kim, did you talk to that detective yesterday?" "Oh, right." She takes a sip of coffee. "He was kind of hot, wasn't he?" I crinkle my nose. If I ever might have found Santoro attractive, I certainly don't anymore. "Not really. He seems like he knows what he's doing." She opens another little cup of cream and dumps it into her coffee. Kim likes her coffee light brown. "I bet he'll catch whoever did this. Make sure they spend the rest of their life in prison." For some reason, her remark makes me very uneasy. "Right. God, who do you think could have done it?" I was reading this morning about what generally happens when a young woman is murdered the way Dawn was. In cases like this, the husband or boyfriend is often the culprit. But Dawn didn't have any significant others in her life, unless her turtle murdered her. "Maybe it was a burglar," I say. But that doesn't feel quite right. Aside from whatever was in that gap in her bookcase, it sounds like nothing was missing from Dawn's house. And if she startled a burglar and he killed her, why would he hide the body? It doesn't make any sense. Nothing about this makes any sense. "So," I clear my throat, "what did you talk to the detective about yesterday?" She shrugs and looks down at something on her phone. "I don't know. He had a bunch of questions about her." "Did you tell the detective I was bullying her?" I used to always know when Kim was lying because her face would turn pink. Unfortunately, her new suntan has made that difficult. "I don't know why." I want to shake her. "Kim, did you tell him I was bullying Dawn?" Finally, she sighs. "I mean, you kind of were." "No, I wasn't." She gives me a look. "It's not like I blame you. Dawn was so strange. She was obsessed with those turtles." "Who is obsessed with turtles? Turtles are so boring. You know what would be better than turtles? Anything." I can't help think about the turtle I found on my desk the last 3 days, or the live one I found crawling around the tank in Dawn's house, or the bookcase brimming with turtles. She has no idea how creepy turtles can be. "I wasn't bullying her," I insist. "I would never do that." "You said that thing about how she lost her virginity to a turtle." "Oh my God, that was just a joke," I cringe. "It wasn't a big deal. Everyone made jokes like that about her. If I was bullying her, so were the rest of you." "Whatever, Nat." "Listen to me, Kim," I say through my teeth. "You need to stop lying about me to the detective, okay? Because this looks really bad for me." "I just told him what really happened." "Oh, is that what you did?" I raise my eyebrows. "Well, maybe I should tell that new husband what really happened the night of your bachelorette party. About that guy at the bar who you..." "Natalie!" Kim reaches out and grasps my hand across the table with lightning speed. "You promised you wouldn't tell anyone." "And I won't." I level my eyes at her. "But you need to stop making me look bad, okay? This is a goddamn murder investigation now. It's no joke." For a moment, Kim looks like she's about to burst into tears. "Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't think it was a big deal. So you messed with Dawn a little bit. We all did." "Right," I say. "We all did." I give Kim one last long look. I feel confident that she's going to keep her mouth shut. She does not want her husband to know what she did that night. Lucky for me, I had the foresight to take a lot of photos the night of the bachelorette party. Unfortunately, I have worse problems than Kim.
Chapter 26. I eat lunch again at my desk. I'm usually a very social person, but all anyone is talking about is Dawn's murder, and it's starting to make me physically ill. Also, I hate the idea that several people in the office thought that I was bullying Dawn. I still don't understand how anyone could have said that. If anything, I was the one who tried to be nice to her. While I'm taking a bite of my turkey sandwich, a text message pops up on my phone. It's from Caleb. Can we talk? No good conversation has ever started with those three words. If he had something good to tell me, he would just go out and tell me. He wouldn't preface it by asking if it was okay to talk. This is a pre-breakup text. I scoop my phone off my desk and stare at the screen. I don't want to break up with Caleb. Despite my little lapse in judgment last night, I still think he's the perfect boyfriend. If anything, I want to move things forward. Before this week, I would have said he adored me, that he was stupidly infatuated with me. What if he knows about Seth? What if he came to my house last night and saw his car parked out front? That would give him ample reason to initiate a breakup conversation. I'm glad he didn't hear the detective's comment about how he and I could have killed Dawn together. That's beyond ridiculous. We certainly didn't kill her together. We weren't even actually together that night. But of course, I couldn't tell the detective that. I can't take it anymore. I have to talk to Caleb. I click on Caleb's number from my list of recent calls. I feel a tiny bit of relief when he doesn't sound outright angry when he answers the phone. Hey, Nat, he says. Hey. I heard about Dawn, he says quietly. Are you okay? My eyes fill with tears. Not really. I can't stop thinking about it. What happened to her?
I know.
She was beaten to death, Caleb. Can you imagine?
I know. It's awful.
There's an interminable silence on the other line. Listen, I just wanted to say that I'm sorry about yesterday. I was kind of a jerk to you. Oh. That was the last thing I expected him to say. Well, it's okay. I mean, it was a stressful day.
It was.
His voice sounds a little scratchy, like he didn't get enough sleep.
I've never been grilled by a detective before. That guy was rough. He just kept pushing me, trying to get me to crack.
But you didn't.
I didn't, he confirms. Look, I do think it would be better to just tell the truth, but I get why he made you feel like you needed an alibi. And geez, it's obvious you couldn't have done this.
Maybe it's obvious to him, but the detective doesn't seem to feel that way.
So, anyway, he says, I'm sorry I freaked out. Do you forgive me?
Only if you forgive me for sleeping with another guy last night. But no, probably better not to bring that up. He never needs to know about it. And like I said, it was a one-off. Seth knows that. Do you want to come over tonight? I ask. I hate the idea of coming home to my empty apartment again. He groans. I wish I could, but I'm going to be at work late today. I don't even know how late. How about tomorrow? Okay. I wish he were coming tonight, but as long as I'm going to see him soon. And maybe this time you can really spend the night. He sounds shocked.
Really?
Why not?
I just assumed with all the stuff going on with your friend, you wouldn't want to.
Dawn wasn't really my friend, I say slowly. I mean, she was my coworker. I liked her, but we weren't friends.
Oh, he says.
Did I say something wrong? Is it really so inappropriate to have my boyfriend over after a coworker who I'd hardly even knew was murdered?
Also, I say, the 5K's on Saturday. You're still running, aren't you?
Again, he sounds surprised.
That's still on?
Despite everything, I feel a jolt of irritation. We raised a lot of money for charity, Caleb. I can't just cancel it.
Well, okay.
I mean, this is for kids with cerebral palsy. It's not like I'm throwing a Sweet 16 party.
No, I get it, he says. I guess I'll be there then. I'd imagined Caleb and me running together the whole way. He has longer legs, but I've been training harder than he has. He runs on the treadmill at the gym, but he hasn't specifically been training for this. I'll hold my own. But I don't know what's going to end up happening with the 5K now. Don's murder has changed everything. I don't want to ruin everything we've worked for, though. Maybe I need to put a new spin on things. Chapter 27, 3 months earlier. From Natalie Farrell, to Vixt employees. Subject, bridal shower. This Friday afternoon at 3, we're going to have a bridal shower to celebrate Kim's upcoming nuptials. Gifts are allowed, ain't encouraged, and there's no spending limit. After all, Kim will only be getting married once, we hope. We are also going to do this potluck style, so please let me know what yummy treats you will be bringing so we don't all bring the same thing. From Don Schiff, to Vix employees, subject re-bridal shower.
I'm so excited. I'll be bringing my famous turtle cupcakes. Sometimes with respect to desserts, turtle refers to candy made with pecans and caramel dipped in chocolate. But these will be actual turtle cupcakes. The inside will be chocolate. And while I won't be giving away all my secrets, trust me when I say these cupcakes will very much resemble turtles. I'm so excited to share them with you. Sincerely, Don Schiff.
From Natalie Farrell, to Vixt employees, subject re-bridal shower. For God's sakes, Don, you don't need to always hit reply all on emails. I will let you know if anyone else claims cupcakes. To Mia Hodge, from Don Schiff, subject re-greetings.
Dear Mia, this morning, I came to work with a tray of a dozen cupcakes. Natalie never got back to me about whether it was okay for me to bring them, but I figured you can never have too many cupcakes. I made chocolate, because we all know everybody loves chocolate. But I did use vanilla frosting, because I was able to add blue food coloring to make the icing look like the ocean, and then added green gummies to turn them into turtle cupcakes. I worked so hard on them. I'm attaching a photo so you can see how beautiful they were. The bridal shower was at 3 o'clock in the conference room. Natalie spent most of the day preparing for it. Every time I looked up, she was in the conference room decorating. I thought about asking if I could help, but I didn't want to annoy her, so I kept my distance. At 3 o'clock, my coworkers started filtering into the conference room with trays of food. I ran to the break room to grab my cupcakes, which I stashed on the bottom shelf of the refrigerator. Except the cupcakes weren't there. I was sure I put them in the refrigerator. I did this as soon as I came in so the cupcakes would stay fresh. I checked every shelf. Although the tray was bulky enough that it didn't seem like it would get lost in the refrigerator. Then I started checking the cabinets above the sink, wondering if somebody stashed the cupcakes up there. After about 5 minutes of searching, I was starting to panic. My heart was racing as I rummaged through all the drawers and cabinets in the break room. I'd been so excited to show everyone my cupcakes. What could have happened to them? But then it hit me. Somebody probably saw the cupcakes and brought them over to the conference room, assuming they were for the shower. The bridal shower had been going on for about 15 minutes at this point. I rinsed off my hands and headed to the conference room to join the others. I could see almost everyone in the office was participating. This was an excellent opportunity to get to talk to my coworkers in a low-pressure environment. Natalie was by the conference table, talking to Seth, who was munching on a tray of food. Seth had a smile playing on his lips, the way he always did when he was talking to Natalie. I never figured out if he knew about his wife showing up at work and leaving that threatening note for Natalie. But I did think about telling him. But I decided to take your advice and keep out of it. But today, I watched the two of them for a moment outside of the conference room. It was weird, but I could almost imagine him leaning forward and pressing his lips against hers, running his fingers through her long, silky hair. It's not hard to see why he likes her. I grabbed the handle of the conference room door. Instantly, Natalie jerked her head up. She abandoned Seth and sprinted across the room to the door to greet me, but she didn't look happy to see me. She started asking a million questions about what I was doing there, even though I was on the email where she invited the entire company. Then she pointed out that it was a potluck, and I hadn't brought anything. I was still hoping the turtle cupcakes had migrated to the party on their own, so I let her know that I was the creator of the turtle cupcakes. But when I said that, she acted like she didn't know what I was talking about. "There are no turtle cupcakes in here," she kept saying. Then she accused me of lying about having brought them. "Please don't tell lies, Dawn," she said. "It's so unattractive." When she said the word unattractive, she made a pointed gesture at my outfit. Unlike Natalie, I usually wear slacks to work. Skirts make me uncomfortable, and I don't wear fitted blouses like she does either, ones that strain at the bosom. Although, to be fair, I don't have much to show off in that department. My mother always used to say I had the figure of a prepubescent boy. I kept insisting I made 12 chocolate cupcakes, but Natalie would not step aside to let me into the bridal shower. Finally, she said she didn't understand why I was here in the first place, because I'm not even friends with Kim. When I pointed out she invited me, she just shook her head. "I sent that to everyone, but I assumed people realized they shouldn't come if they weren't friends with Kim. That's just common sense," she told me. Except when I looked over Natalie's shoulder, it seemed like every single person in the company was in that conference room. It wasn't just friends of Kim. It was everyone. Everyone but me. Before I could point that out, Natalie closed the door in my face and went back to talking to Seth. I didn't know what to do after that. I could have gone back to doing work in the otherwise empty office, but I couldn't focus. I had thought this party would be an opportunity for me to finally get to know some of my coworkers, maybe even make a friend. Obviously, I recognize I'll never have another friend like you. I've abandoned that foolish notion. But since we're living at different ends of the country, I'd love it if there was somebody I could have lunch with from time to time at least. Finally, I opted to go to the break room. I definitely brought the cupcakes to work this morning. I was sure that if I could find them and bring them to the conference room, Natalie would let me into the party. She had to. Everyone would want to try those cupcakes. Who wouldn't like turtle cupcakes? So while everybody else was at the party, I went back to the break room alone. I checked the refrigerator one last time and then went through all the drawers and cabinets systematically. It was only on a whim that I pushed my foot on the pedal to open up the garbage bin. And that's when I found my cupcakes, smooshed together in a big messy pile at the bottom of the trash. All my hard work was in the garbage. Nobody had the opportunity to see them or taste them. I spent hours on those cupcakes for nothing. You always used to tell me never to give other people the satisfaction of seeing me cry. If I was ever on the brink, you would tell me how awesome I am and that I need to be strong. But it was easy not to cry when you were there right with me. It's a lot harder when you're alone. But you're right. No matter what, you can't let anyone know they've gotten to you, because that's when they win. So I went back to my cubicle with my chin held high. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction. You would have been proud of me. Sincerely, Dawn Schiff. To Dawn Schiff, from Mia Hodge. Subject, re-greetings. OMG, Dawn! This Natalie person has crossed a line. You need to go to HR and report her. I'm serious. To Mia Hodge, from Dawn Schiff. Subject, re-greetings. Dear Mia, I understand why you would say that, but I would rather not go to HR. I will just make another batch of cupcakes and keep them in my cubicle for the next party. Besides, the head of HR loves Natalie. Sincerely, Dawn Schiff. Chapter 28. Present Day. Natalie. I've got another interview in the late afternoon to promote the 5K, this one for a local radio station. My head isn't entirely in the game, but it'll be a good distraction. I've been doing sales calls all morning and haven't made one sale, but I can do an interview in my sleep. I've been told that I have a nice speaking voice. Someone once told me I should do voiceovers. I was supposed to get a call from Rita Duke at 4, but it's 4:15 and I still haven't gotten the call.
I find her number in my address book. Maybe I got the time wrong. Although I've got it written on my calendar, I don't usually make mistakes like that. After several rings, I'm certain the call will go to voicemail, and then Rita picks up.
Natalie?
Hi, Rita, I chirp into the phone. Weren't we supposed to record the interview at 2? Did I get it wrong?
No.
She's quiet for a moment. I guess I just assumed you didn't want to do it anymore since you're a co-worker. She drops her voice several notches. You know, was killed. I'm not surprised she knows about Dawn. It's been all over the news today, since her body turned up. Actually, I thought we could talk about that during the interview. We're raising money for cerebral palsy, but now we're also going to be running in Dawn's honor. She's quiet for so long that I almost think she's hung up. Finally, she says,
Really? Do you think that's in good taste?
In good taste? What are you talking about? Dawn was brutally murdered and the killer is still out there. This will draw more awareness. Maybe it will lead to finding the bastard who did this to her.
Natalie, do you know what everybody is saying on the internet?
I get a horrible sinking feeling in my stomach.
What?
Your company is trending. Rita says it like it's a big deal. Everybody is saying that Dawn was severely bullied by the staff who worked there. It's all over the place. I grab my phone and bring up my Twitter feed. What should I search for? Hashtag Vixed Bullies. Oh, God. It's not true, I say to Rita. It's just a horrible rumor. You know how these things get started.
Uh-huh.
I liked Dawn. My voice sounds almost whiny, but I can't help it. She and I were friends. Good friends. If anything, I protected her from other people bullying her. She was different, you know? But I like that about her. I like that she was different.
I get it, Rita says. But I just feel like the climate is wrong right now. I can't take the side of the enemy, you know?
I'm not the enemy! I wanted to pound my fist on the desk. I'm the one who found out she was missing in the first place.
Yeah, I saw a post mentioning that, Rita coughs. It was hashtag suspicious.
I'm too stunned to speak. It takes a second for my voice to come back to me. You know, I have an alibi for the night she disappeared.
I'm sure you do, Rita says vaguely. Look, I just don't think it's a good idea to do this interview right now. But I hope it all works out for you, Natalie.
Gosh, thanks, Rita. I appreciate your support. Before she can respond, I hang up the phone. That was unbelievable. Rita has been interviewing me every single year since I started doing the 5K. I thought we were friends. I can't believe she would hang me out to dry like that after just a hint of a rumor. Now that I'm off the phone, I have to see what Rita was talking about. I bring up my Twitter feed and I type in the hashtag. Oh no, this is worse than I thought. Chapter 29. We are trending. In 280 characters or less, everybody on the internet is sharing stories about workplace bullying and how awful it is that poor Dawn was tormented the way she was. Even though it's almost physically painful, I scan through the litany of horrible comments about my company and the people who work there. It's almost too awful to read. People as a whole can be terrible, mob mentality and all. The people who work at that company should all go to jail. Hashtag Vixed Bullies. Child bullies grow up to be adult bullies. Hashtag Justice for Dawn. Hashtag Vixed Bullies. I took Colahealth, and it was the most useless supplement I've ever tried. Basically sugar pills. Did nothing. Hashtag Vic sucks. You're lucky it did nothing. It made my hair fall out. Hashtag Vic sucks. Oh my God. Colahealth does not make your hair fall out. That is a complete lie. Yes, it doesn't work for everyone, but for the people that do have benefits, the effects can be amazing. I mean, I don't take Colahealth personally. My collagen is already fine. But I've read the literature on it, and it's a really good product. After a while, I'm just searching for my name. For the most part, Whoever leaked the story about Dawn has kept my name out of it. Thank God. But a few people have chosen to criticize me as an employee of Vixxed. Natalie from Vixxed is the worst lying snake you will ever meet. She will say anything to get you to buy their crap. Hashtag Vixxed sucks. It's hard not to take it personally.
Nat?
Seth is standing over me, hovering at the entrance to my cubicle, wearing his trench coat. I was so absorbed in looking at my Twitter feed that I didn't even see him approach. His eyebrows are scrunched together.
Hi, I mumble. You okay, Nat?
I drag my gaze away from my phone. We're getting trashed on the internet, you know.
I know.
He seems unperturbed, given that his name got mentioned quite a bit as well. Manager Seth Hoffman did nothing to stop the bullying.
You should stop looking at it.
How can I? Even as I'm talking to him, I'm looking back down again to read the next comment. There's a new one popping up every few seconds.
It's easy.
He reaches out and snatches my phone off the desk.
Just stop. It's not going to help find who did this to Dawn.
Hey!
It's for your own good, Nat.
Everyone thinks I bully Dawn, that I'm a terrible person.
That's bullshit. Seth says the word so vehemently, I almost want to hug him.
Even Kim seemed to believe that I'd been bullying Dawn, and she's my best friend.
You were nice to Dawn. You didn't do anything wrong. These people on the internet are just speculating. They're just looking for somebody to blame. They don't know you like I do.
I tug at a lock of my hair. Aren't you freaking out, though? Corporate is not going to be happy about this.
It's fine. They know it's just a rumor. It'll blow over. What happened to Dawn is terrible, but it wasn't our fault.
What if they fire you? He grins crookedly.
Then my income drops precipitously, which will be great for my divorce proceedings. Relax, Nat. This is going to be okay.
Give me back my phone.
I'm going to walk you to your car, and then I'll give it back to you.
Seth seems intent on holding my phone hostage, so I snatch my jacket off the back of my chair and wrap it around myself. There's a chance he could be right. I'm pretty sure nothing good can come from reading these posts. It is what it is. At least nobody has called me a murderer, so there's that. I follow Seth down the hall to the elevators. He's still got my phone shoved into his own coat pocket. I still don't understand all the hate directed at us. We didn't bully Dawn, although God knows we could have because she blatantly disregarded so many social conventions. But we were nice to her. I mean, mostly. Were there a few times I got irritated and snapped at her? Sure, I'm only human. But I really did try to be patient with her, in general. I even made an effort to include her in work events. Like, even though she wasn't friends with Kim and was sometimes outright rude to her, I made a point of inviting her to the bridal shower we threw for her, even though she didn't end up coming. And even if we did bully her, what does that have to do with her murder, for God's sake? Do they think we bullied her to death?
You're still thinking about it, he notes.
I can't help it. I tug at my pantyhose, which rips slightly under my fingernail. Damn it. I'm not used to people hating me. Well, except for his wife. But even she seems to have lost interest in harassing me.
Nobody hates you, Nat.
His light brown eyes meet mine across the elevator.
I sure don't.
I look away from him. This is not going to lead to anything good. The sun has already gone down when we get out of the building. The weather is brisk and it's almost drizzling, and it's promising to be a wet, cold month. Soon it will start snowing. Saturday is supposed to be nice at least. Seth stands close to me as we walk through the parking lot in the direction of my car. I notice he's parked only a few spots away from mine. A few times as we walk, his shoulder brushes against mine. I don't comment on that. When we reach my car, I turn to look at him. Can I have my phone back now? He fishes into his pocket and pulls it out for me. As I take it from him, my fingers brush against his. I can't help but notice how close he is standing to me.
So,
he says. My hair is starting to curl in the cold mist.
So?
He leans to kiss me. He gets within about an inch of my lips, but then I come to my senses. I press my palm firmly against his chest, pushing him away.
No, Seth, I say. I can't. Come on, he pleads with me. Just a one-off.
Last night was the one-off, I reminded him.
If we do it again, it's not a one-off. Then it's just cheating. And I don't want to cheat on Caleb. He's a good guy. So break up with him. Be with me instead. I can see in his eyes that he's serious. He wants me to dump Caleb and go out with him instead. He must be out of his mind. Yes, last night was amazing and he is wicked sexy. But he's a mess. His personal life is a disaster. And my own head is still spinning after everything that's happened this week. I just can't do this. I'm sorry, I say. Before he can start declaring his love for me again like last night, I grab my keys out of my purse and get into my car. Seth backs away to let me get out of the spot, but he doesn't get into his own car. Even as I'm driving out of the parking lot, he's watching me. Chapter 30. 2 months earlier. To Rhonda Schiff. From Dawn Schiff. Subject: Advice. Dear Mother, what is the best way to get a coworker to like you better? Do you have any strategies I could use? Sincerely, Dawn. To Dawn Schiff. From Rhonda Schiff. Subject: Re-advice. Who are we talking about? A man? To Rhonda Schiff. From Dawn Schiff. Subject: Re-advice. Dear Mother. No, this coworker is a woman. Sincerely, Dawn. To Dawn Schiff. From Rhonda Schiff.